Well, this is my second preaching in Kidderminster on Thursday, the 18th of April 2024. And just move to a different location. We'll see how it goes. Father, I pray you help me, fill me with your spirit and use me for your glory.
Well, good afternoon. It's my privilege to be here to speak and to say that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. We are living in the last days. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Today, in the Daily Telegraph, there was an article, and it said, nuclear war is coming immediately, and we're not ready for it. So let me ask you the question. This is the question. What are you doing to prepare for nuclear war? Okay, right, so you're not doing anything. Why are you doing nothing to prepare for nuclear war? If we are facing war, if we are facing global war, if we're facing terrible, destructive war, why are we not preparing?
It's not going to happen.
Well, how do you know it's not going to happen?
We would have been told.
Who would tell you? Okay, you trust the government. The government always tells you the truth.
Yes, every single time.
Okay, right. Well, in which case, there's no hope for you guys. But you know, and I know that we don't trust the government. You know that we don't trust the government.
Well, when it's worse, then NATO would get involved. So.
Well, and you think you trust NATO? You think NATO is big enough to stand up to China and Russia and all the others? Okay, well, that's very trusting of you. In this book, the Bible, which talks about the return of Jesus Christ, it talks about wars at the end of the age in which 4 billion people will die. And that could be... Does it talk about what, sorry?
Nukes.
It doesn't specifically talk about nukes, but it does talk about terrible destructions. You can read it. You can read it for yourself and draw your own conclusions. But one possible way... Of course you can read. One possible way... I don't believe you. So one possible way in which that could happen would be nuclear weapons. I agree. But what the Bible is telling me is that there is a wrath to come and a judgment to come. And after death, however we die, whether we die in war or whether we die in peace, we will die. And if we die without the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go to hell.
I will.
And we need to repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you die in a nuclear war or by any other means, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. So I asked you the question, how are you preparing?
I'm not preparing.
No, we are not preparing. You're not preparing for the fact that you could be called away. Well, no, I am prepared because I know Jesus Christ. If a nuclear weapon went off, if there was an atmospheric burst of some gigantic nuclear weapon above Kidderminster just now, and there was nothing left of us...
There would be no target Kidderminster at all bases.
No, okay, I agree with you. I don't think they could target Kidderminster.
Maybe they target London, Birmingham.
Okay, and if they targeted London and Birmingham, what do you think would happen to Kidderminster?
We'd be in the crossfire.
Well, wouldn't just be in the crossfire, we'd be in a nation that was destroyed. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, and He is the only way you can prepare for death.
Yes.
The only way. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and He is alive today, and He died to save sinners like you and me.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can take away our sins. His blood is the only means whereby we can be cleansed.
And
His
blood,
no more than you or I. He was a man who died upon a cross, but he was God as well.
Six foot.
I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us how tall he was. All it says about his appearance is that there was nothing in him that we should desire him. But that man who died on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, was both God and man. He was not like any other man. He had never sinned. He never told a lie. He never swore. And he died in the place of sinners. If you say that, you're a liar.
I'm not lying.
By saying that you've never lied? Okay, right. Well, the Bible says you're a liar. So, we are all sinners by nature. And I don't know you, I don't know anything about you, but God knows everything about you, and your own words condemn you. Their throat, the Bible says, is an open tomb. So we need to turn from our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our lies. Because liars, the Bible tells me, will have their place in the lake of fire. They'll have their place in hell. And hell is a place of everlasting torment and judgment forever. That won't save you. Nobody, no Muslim has ever been saved. Not one. Not by Islam. Because there's no sacrifice for sin, and God requires sacrifice, and the only sacrifice that can take away our sin. If you are a Muslim, you are trusting in your works for salvation. You're saying, I hope I can be good enough. Maybe if I go on pilgrimage or do these good works or other things as well, which Muslims talk about. The point is this, that none of that will save you. None of it is good enough for God. What saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. What saves you is the fact that the Lord Jesus was a substitute and a sacrifice who laid down his life and died upon the cross of Calvary in the place of sinners, so that we, if we believe on Jesus, would know the forgiveness of our sins. That's what gets us to heaven. Because he's God, he can do that. He did many miracles. He's God. He was raised from the dead. How was he raised from the dead? By the power of God, his own power. Death could not hold him. Well, he was dead, but he is alive. He's not dead, he is risen. He is resurrected from the dead, and he ascended, and he's in heaven now. And he reigns on the very throne of heaven in all the glory that belongs to Almighty God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ being God the Son and being the Saviour of the world. So that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus will find that salvation that comes from Almighty God. It's all here in this book, the Bible. It's all there. And that's it. If our sins aren't forgiven, if we aren't washed and cleansed from our sins, if our sins aren't forgiven...
I'll wash every day.
Yeah, but you can only wash the outside. You can't wash your heart, your core, your soul. You can't wash away your sins. Well, if we say we're perfect, if we say that we are without sin, we lie and the truth is not in us, the Bible says. So, you see, I don't know anything about you, but even now I know you're lying. Even now I know you're lying. Even now I know you're a sinner. Every thought and intent of the heart, the Bible tells me, was only evil continually. That's true of you and it's true of me.
If during one of my kickboxing fights and I kill someone,
yeah,
would I go to hell?
I wouldn't recommend kickboxing as a sport, because the idea is to knock somebody else to pieces. And yes, if you kill somebody doing kickboxing,
yeah,
then you are responsible for that death before Almighty God.
How's so, it my responsibility?
You're the one that killed them, so therefore you're responsible for their death. So simple as that.
Trying to kill me as well.
Cause and effect, exactly. So if they kill you, they'd be equally as guilty. Do you know something? You can be guilty of murder without killing anybody.
Yes, good man.
The Bible tells us if you've got hatred in your heart, then that's the same as murder. God looks at the heart. God looks at, it's not just into a fight. We hate people in the world. We hate other people. We hate, well, there you are. You're a murderer in your heart. And God sees the heart, and God looks at the heart. But you hate someone, and God calls that hatred. He looks at the heart. He sees your heart. He knows the wickedness in our hearts, the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's our hearts that need to be cleansed. It's out of our hearts that sin comes. Sexual immorality and sexual impurity. Lying and thieving and covetousness and idolatry and blaspheming, all of this is in our hearts. We don't naturally know God. We don't naturally desire to know God because we're sinners. The Lord Jesus has made a way back to God. He's the only way, because he's the only one that can deal with the power of sin. His lamb can never deal with the power of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with the power of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take our sin away. He died on the cross of Calvary. He is alive today. He was seen by many witnesses. Well, today Jesus is on the throne of heaven. He ascended through the clouds. He's on the throne of heaven. And very soon Jesus Christ will return on the clouds of heaven. Because he's God, he is on the throne of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ died. He was laid in the grave for 3 days. And the Bible says he descended into hell. Then he was resurrected. After his resurrection, he was seen by many witnesses. And then he ascended to heaven, where he will be till the very end of the age.
So he's dead.
So the Lord Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is risen. He is alive. He was resurrected by the power of God.
In heaven. He's in heaven.
Yes, the Lord Jesus is on the throne of heaven. He is the eternal God. For eternal ages, before the nations were even created, before the world was created.
If he was alive, he'd be on earth.
No, he's in heaven, but he is by his spirit. He is by his spirit, the Bible tells us.
So I could be dead and be in heaven with my spirit and I'll be alive. Yeah?
Well, death is not the end. We either go to heaven or hell. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll go straight to hell. If you don't know him, you'll go straight to the place of everlasting burnings and torments and hell fire. That's why you need a saviour.
So if you've read the Bible before, does that mean you know Jesus?
No, reading the Bible tells you about Jesus. It tells you how to find Jesus. But you have to find Jesus yourself. Yes, I have. I know him as my saviour. And there are millions of Christians in the world today who will tell you the same thing. I found Jesus Christ. I know... Well, the answer is, the Bible says he's near at hand to those who call on him. So we have to call on him. We have to believe that he's there and call on him, and he will come to us. And he, well, the Bible, Jesus told the story of two men that went into a synagogue. One of them was very proud and said, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this bad man here. And God didn't forgive him because he was self-righteous. But that other man was a wicked man, and he beat his breast and he cried out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible says we need to recognize our sins, repent of our sins, confess them to God, and put our trust fully in Jesus Christ, trusting in his death upon the cross of Calvary, trusting in what he did, trusting that he died to take away my sins. And when I find Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. Because he's there, he answers. Because he's real, because he's alive, he comes to you, he lives in you, he changes you. The most important thing is this, that my sins are forgiven. I am no better than anybody else in this world, but my sins are forgiven. The same as everybody else is lying, swearing, stealing, evil thoughts, hatred, blasphemy, all of these things, and many other things. The answer to that is, he won't forgive unbelief. If we don't come to him, he won't forgive that. But any sins that we have committed, God will forgive us if we repent of them.
So if I kill loads and loads of people, but I found Jesus, then I go to heaven.
The answer is that there are murderers who have found the Lord Jesus Christ who have gone to heaven. Some of the leading Nazis in World War II found the Lord Jesus Christ and he forgave them. And let me put it like this. If God can't save people like that, then he can't save you. No, but he can. The Lord Jesus can save anybody, but you must come to him, you must repent, you must believe on him, you must seek him, you must find him. And if you don't find Jesus Christ, your sin remains on you. And if, in the unlikely event that Vladimir Putin was to drop a nuclear bomb on Kidderminster today, you and I were vaporized, you wouldn't go to heaven, you'd go to hell. Yeah, and I'll tell you what's concerning me, it's also the fact that people of your age, that they're talking about call-up and a draft.
Yeah.
They did that. Well, they did that with young people in Ukraine, and they just sent them into the meat grinder, and they died. And join the army by all means, but prepare for eternity by finding the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ alone will prepare you for eternity. Listen, I've got to see this chap here. Sorry. Stuart, hello. Yes. Are you heading off? You look really cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm concerned with you over the safety issue, because I don't trust that black kid. He keeps on coming around.
Don't worry about that. It's fine. They're not going to harm me.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thanks. No, I'm very happy. It's all right. They're listening. So it's good. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Bye-bye. See ya. No, they're okay. I've got a lot of experience dealing with young people.
Yeah, no, you just kept on circling. I thought, you know what I mean? You could throw something. You never know.
That's
you know
right. Let's just pray for them. Father, pray for those two.
Yes, Lord.
Especially, Lord. And the others who heard as well, but especially those two, they would really think about these things.
Yes.
They really think that they have souls and that they are guilty and sinful before you, and that they really would understand the days in which we're living, and that they would prepare themselves to meet you by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are powerless. We can't do anything apart from you. Your Holy Spirit is able to meet with them and convict them and bring them to repentance. And I pray that not only they, but many others here would find that salvation which comes from Almighty God. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, amen. We're till more together there you are than missing the presence, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for the presence of David, Lord. Lord, that he goes out, he preaches, Lord, and he interacts with people, Lord. There's so many Christians in the church, Lord, that are hypocrites, Lord. They're like whitewashed tombs, Lord. They're just totally and utterly, you know, dead inside, just rotting, decaying bones inside. I just thank you, Lord, that he does make the effort, and he's inspirational, Lord, that he does go out, and he does try to preach your word. And I just ask it of you, Lord, if you'll anoint him with power and your Holy Spirit, and bless him in abundance. In the mighty name of your Son, King Jesus, Nazareth, amen.